Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
I'm Tom.
It's our people unit, and we're going to be taking a look at someone who is a real person, Madame Tussaud, but the people that she made with her hands, are made out of wax, so they're not really alive. But they were living at some point, and some of the flat wax figures that you'll see in her museum are still alive. Although, her wax museum also has a lot of very famous people who have already passed away.
Exactly. So we're talking about the tale or the history of Madame Tussaud and her wax museum, which, of course, exists not only in England, but in other parts of the world as well. So that's what we're talking about today. And, of course, this is a French woman, or at least she has a French title here, Madame, which basically means Mrs. or Lady or whatever. So let's find out what this is all about. Let's listen to the entire contents of our lesson now one time.
Walking through the corridors of this immense building, you find yourself transcending time and space. In one room, you almost hear Marilyn Monroe's giggle, while in another, Barack Obama stands with his signature smile. It almost slips your mind that these figures are actually realistic wax sculptures, all thanks to the genius Madame Tussaud. Madame Tussaud was born Marie Grossholtz in 1761 in Strasbourg, France. Under the guidance of anatomist Philippe Curtius, she acquired her wax modeling expertise and created her first wax figure of the famous writer Voltaire at just 15. Such was her talent that she even caught the attention of French royalty and was granted the honor of tutoring the king's sister. However, her royal connections put her in danger during the French Revolution. Imprisoned and facing execution, Marie was released under harsh conditions, crafting death masks for political propaganda. These are likenesses of people's faces made after their death. During the process, she sometimes had to use the severed heads of the revolution's victims, many of whom she knew personally. Following the revolution, Marie decided to seek a fresh start in the UK in 1802. She continued to perfect her wax art, utilizing authentic human hair and fake blood to achieve realism. Eventually, she established the landmark wax museum, Madame Tussaud's, on London's Baker Street in 1835. She remained dedicated to her craft until her death in 1850. Marie Grossholtz's story reflects her fighting spirit and proves how far courage and ambition could take a person despite the restricted social roles of women at the time. Today, her legacy continues to thrive through the wax museum empire she founded.
Okay, everybody, let's talk about the contents of today's lesson. We are walking through the corridors of this immense building. So when that happens, you will find yourself transcending time and space. Now, a corridor is like a big hallway, especially if it's a fancy hallway in a very large building. And then at the end of the corridor, there'll be a door that goes into a different room. Mm-hmm. Or there'll be other doors along the corridor that go into rooms at the side. It's like a hallway or just a hall, but it's a big fancy one.
It's huge. They're describing this building here that we're walking into right now as being immense. So it's really, really big. It also says you find yourself transcending time and space. So we're going beyond time and space. So when you see that, you often think of you're going to go back in history, or maybe you're going to look forward in time. We're going to soon find out. This particular museum has things from current day and history and maybe some things that we might see in the future. I haven't been to a Madame Tussaud's wax museum for a long time. Probably at least. Actually, I went in Hong Kong, so maybe about 12 years ago was the last time I went. But here's one example that you'll find there if in one room. Remember, you're walking into that room off the corridor or hallway. Corridor always sounds more official to me than hallway or hall, which we would use for our homes or the school. You know, we've got those long corridors in school or the hallways. So if you go into one room, you almost hear Marilyn Monroe's giggle. If you giggle, you kind of chuckle. It's not just this, it's just a, like kind of a small laugh. And I think the one they use in the Wax Museum is the one that's famous where she's standing over the grate that's on the street, and the air from beneath the road is, you know, shooting up under her skirt, and her skirt flies up.
Right.
She looks really cute in that. So I think that's the one they use as a model to make the Marilyn Monroe wax figure.
Right. Maybe they play the sound to it as well. Who knows?
They could, yeah.
And also, you've got a figure of Barack Obama. He stands with his signature smile. So every person has a different kind of expression that is unique to themselves.
Yeah.
And so signature here just means his unique smile, the smile that he has and nobody else has.
Yes, it's a signature smile. You might have something like a signature tie, a signature hat, a signature laugh or entrance. Everybody has their own style. And if you've got a style that really sticks in people's mind, they're going to remember it. So it almost slips your mind as you're there that these figures are actually realistic wax sculptures. They look very lifelike. I think some of them are better than others. I think some people, maybe their face is hard to sculpt. I don't know. But some look very, very lifelike and actually look like the real person. And others you think, maybe they should have tried a little harder on that one. If they're realistic, though, they are lifelike. They look real. So you are seeing things that look pretty darn good, I must say. But I think probably Madame Tussauds was more talented than most of the sculptors today. I don't know. She sounded like she was amazing.
Right. So they are realistic thanks to this genius, Madame Tussauds. Okay. The genius here is not just calling her a genius, but it's referring to her intelligence. Thanks to the intelligence or the genius of Madame Tussauds. Okay. And yes, indeed, we are describing her as a genius as well. And here in the next paragraph, it says, Madame Tussauds was born Marie Groschholz, in 1761 in Strasbourg, France, which I believe is very close to the German border there. So that might explain why her name sounds so German there. And under the guidance of anatomist Philippe Curtius, she acquired her wax modeling expertise and created her first wax figure of the famous writer Voltaire at just the age of 15. So this sentence gives us a lot of information. First of all, it tells us where she was born. She was born in 1761 in a town in France. And then she was guided by an anatomist. And that's a person, of course, who studies anatomy or the structure of the human body. And by studying with him under his guidance, she was able to acquire or get her wax modeling expertise. Expertise just refers to your special skill that you have. And because she had that special expertise or that special skill, she was able to create her first wax figure at the age of 15. And that wax figure was of the famous writer Voltaire.
Now, if you have expertise in something, it means you have a lot of knowledge in a particular field or you have a lot of skill or talent. I wanted to mention genius also refers to someone's talent. Maybe they're not book smart. We often say, oh, he's book smart. They test well. A lot of people, their genius lies in their athletic ability or their musical ability or here their artistic ability. She was a genius. She had a lot of talent. I think it's interesting back then, you probably didn't have to be that good at making wax figures because we didn't have cameras where people would see what they really look like. They were just paintings that most people, if they ever did get to see what Voltaire looked like back then, it would have been a painting, not a photograph. So that was probably one of the good things. But that was her first wax figure. He was very famous, Voltaire, and she did that when she was only 15.
Right, and the next sentence goes on to say, such was her talent, because she was so talented, she even caught the attention of French royalty and was granted the honor of tutoring the king's sister. So she was so talented, and because of that, the French royalty noticed her, which would refer to the king and the queen and the prince and the princess and all those people in the French court. They noticed her. And, of course, she was granted the honor of tutoring the king's sister. They thought, hey, you're such a good sculptor, I guess we could say. You make those wax figures so expertly. Why don't you come into the castle here and tutor my sister? Okay, I've got a sister here. She's having problems with the art or whatever. So why don't you come here and teach her or tutor her? To tutor just means that you teach somebody, usually one-on-one. And here to grant just means to give somebody a special privilege or permission.
Yeah, they didn't have schools for the royalty, at least. And so if they wanted to learn things, they would have a tutor in every single subject. It wasn't one person who would just teach them everything. They would bring in the best to tutor the royalty or the royals. So she had the honor of tutoring the king's sister. We're going to find out it wasn't such an honor because it led to some really awful consequences for her in her life, which I had never heard about until I read the article today. So that was really interesting to find out about. Right now, guys, we are going to take an early break, and then we'll be back to continue talking about Madame Tussaud.
Hello, everyone. 我是派老师。今天讲解的是3月份3月18号 Unit 9, The Tale Behind Madame Tussaud and Her Wax Museum, 第一天的课程。这个单元介绍杜莎夫人蜡像馆。很多听众大概都看过名人的蜡像，但未必每个蜡像都极为逼真，栩栩如生。之前新闻曾经报道过，在中国有些蜡像馆成立了明星的蜡像，但是并没有那个明星的授权，而且制作品质极为粗糙，甚至于引发参观民众不满。如果对名人蜡像有兴趣的听众，可以到香港杜莎夫人蜡像馆参观。根据老师自己的经验，那里的蜡像都非常逼真，大家应该都会满意。好，我们一起来看学习重点。先看第一段第一个句子，请同学看到逗点之后主要子句的地方。You find yourself transcending time and space. 请同学特别注意 transcending 这个词，它在 yourself 这个受词后面其实是作为补语的。那这边加上 ing 是一个主动的形态，那表示你会发现你自己呢超越了时空的限制。transcend 这个字呢，就是有超过某个范围、某个限制的意思。不过，通常呢，它所超越的东西是比较抽象的。再来，请同学看到第二个句子，在最后面的部分，从奥巴马开始。Barack Obama stands with his signature smile. 那请同学把 signature smile 画起来，是招牌微笑的意思。好，再来我们看到第三句。It almost slips your mind that these figures are actually realistic wax sculptures. 这里的 slip your mind, 请同学特别记得。这里呢，我们平常会说我忘了什么事。那 it slips your mind 就表示你忘了，其实你现在呢是在蜡像馆当中。再来请同学看到第二段第二个句子，在前面的介系词片语 under the guidance of anatomist Philip Curtius. 好，这边 under the guidance of 就是在解剖学家这位 Philip Curtius 的指导之下。再来请同学看到的是主要子句的部分， She acquired her wax modeling expertise. Acquire 跟 expertise 搭配， Acquire 的意思呢就是学习会，学会了什么， 得到了什么样子的技能，这边 expertise 就是专业技能的意思。好，再来请同学看到第三个句子，请注意哦，这个部分呢是倒装句，原本的句子应该是 Her talent was such that， 那这里是倒装句。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back, guys. It's our people unit. And we're talking about the very famous Madame Tussauds or Madame Tussauds, who is very famous because she established her own wax museum while she was still alive in London. But now she's become so popular, or at least her wax museums have become so popular, that we now have, I think we have four around the world these days. I saw one in Hong Kong. My sister had never been to Hong Kong, so we did the tourist thing, and I took her there, where there was a really great Jackie Chan, I must say. It looked really realistic, as we're saying here, or lifelike. You can use that word, too. If something looks real, but it's not, it could be a painting, a 3D image, anything that looks realistic but is not real could be said to be lifelike. So, yeah,She's pretty amazing. Now, finding out about her history, we go back to 1761. If you're not familiar with France, France has two languages. Everybody thinks that, oh, they speak French there. Well, they do, but there's also a big community that speaks German as their first language and French as their second language. She was born in an area of France that was close to Germany or Vienna, andthey, of course, were speaking German. Her name, I was shocked to see her name because I always thought, oh, she's French. But her name is very German, Marie Groschultz, and she grew up in Strasbourg, France, which is really beautiful.
Indeed. So, again, she was able to gain some recognition. So she was able to make her first wax figure at the age of 15. It was of the famous writer Voltaire. And because of her talent, she was noticed by the French royalty, and she was given permission or granted the honor of tutoring the king's sister. Now, here in the next paragraph, it says, however...Her royal connections put her in danger during the French Revolution. So here, connections just refers to knowing people. For example, if you want to get a job in a certain industry, you need to have connections. You need to know people here and there so they can help you get a job or something like that. Or to get into a school, you need to have connections. Connections are very important.Especially in Taiwan here, but pretty much all societies around the world. And she had those royal connections. But in this particular case, that made her kind of, that put her in a kind of dangerous situation during the French Revolution. That was, of course, a period in French history in which they overthrew the Bourbons, I believe it was. And it took place between 1789 and 1799.
Yeah, it was a tough time in France at that period, and you didn't want to be there because even innocent people who weren't trying to overthrow the royal family were sometimes accused of being traitors. So a lot of people were actually beheaded during this time. They came up with that guillotine with the sharp blade because they needed something that could kill people faster. It's terrible. But it was actually a better way than someone using an axe, and we won't go into that. So she happened to, sadly, have had connections with the royal family. At first, that must have been a good thing for her, but later, oh no, no one wanted to be connected to the royal family. After America had their revolution and we gained our freedom, the French were tired of the royals telling them what to do and hogging all the land and the property and the money. And so they had their citizens revolt. And so they had their revolution. Sadly, though, a lot of people died during that time. Some who were innocent bystanders just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. I think that was Marie. So, She was imprisoned. If you're imprisoned, it's just a way to say someone put you in prison. So you're imprisoned. And she was also waiting to face her execution. They were going to kill her, take her head off. Miraculously, she was allowed to live, but the conditions where they released her were pretty harsh. Execution is when you murder someone, you kill someone. Usually these days, we only use execution if the state is killing somebody, a criminal perhaps, who was sentenced to death. Or sometimes the mafia or cartels, if they have someone like kneel down and they shoot them at the back of the head, that's called execution style because it's pretty brutal. So she was released under harsh conditions. They said, oh, we'll let you go, Marie. But you know what? We're going to have you craft some death masks for political propaganda. Before we had a lot of photography available to just normal people, that's what they would do. When someone died, if you had enough money, you would have someone come over and put clay on that person's face and make a death mask. That's what those were.
Right. So they have done that with various historical figures,
yeah.
Like Beethoven, I think, had a death mask.
Mm-hmm.
So you can basically have an idea of what they looked like when they were living. And yes, indeed, she was crafting or creating those death masks, but they were doing it for political propaganda. Here, propaganda just means you're offering information and you're trying to brainwash people. We tend to think of propaganda occurring in dictatorships around the world. Of course, there was a lot of propaganda in Russia or in the Soviet Union or in Cuba or places like that. There's a lot of propaganda. And here they're just trying to brainwash the public into believing a certain thing and basically threatening them. If you don't believe in this thing, then we're going to cut your head off in the guillotine.
So these are likenesses. They look like the people's faces, but they were made after their deaths. During the process, she sometimes had to use the severed heads of the revolution's victims. And because she had been in the royal court as a tutor for the king's sister, she was familiar with some of these heads that she had to make a death mask of. If it's severed, it just means it's been cut off. So if you see a news story and it said, oh, he had a severed hand or a severed finger, somebody or somehow that limb or digit for a finger got cut off, sometimes the doctors can sew it back on, but many times it's not possible. So she would put that clay over heads that had been cut off. So I can't imagine how horrible that job would be. I don't think I could do it.
Right. So, of course, they probably made those death masks of political victims to let people know, hey, if you do this, then this is what's going to happen to you.
Yeah.
It served as a reminder to people. Well, I guess I better behave myself and not to go against the government. And following the revolution, when the revolution was over, Marie decided to seek a fresh start in the UK in 1802. I think, when the revolution ended, Napoleon took over, but that's another story.
Mm-hmm.
And she probably had seen enough of France, and she's decided to go to the UK. She heard they got some great Earl Grey tea there and some scones and stuff, so she moved over to the UK in 1802, and she continued to perfect her wax art, utilizing authentic human hair and fake blood to achieve realism. If you utilize something, you just simply use it for a particular purpose. So basically she used real human hair, and she also used fake blood, and she used these things so that the statues would look real. She wanted to achieve realism.
Yeah, so that's probably where we got using real hair from, was from Marie. I hadn't thought of that before. So, yeah, she used authentic is real, right? Human hair and fake blood, thank goodness it was fake, to achieve realism, to make it look real. Eventually, or after some time passed, she established or maybe she bought a building, but that's where she established her landmark wax museum that was called Madame Tussauds, and it was on London's Baker Street, which is a very famous location in London, and that was back in 1835. Now, remember, she was born in 1761, so she was getting older when she finally got her own wax museum put together. So, congratulations to her, though. That's hard to do, especially back then when most women didn't have jobs or stayed at home. So, if something's landmark, it means it's very famous, and we'll often use it maybe for a tourist attraction,Or maybe something is very visible in your city and people use it to navigate to another place. If I get lost in Taipei walking around, which I've done before, I just look to try to see where 101 is and then I know where to go from there. So it was a landmark wax museum, still famous. She remained dedicated to her craft until she died in 1850.
Okay, and the final paragraph for today says, Marie Groeschholtz's story reflects her fighting spirit and proves how far courage and ambition could take a person despite the restricted social roles of women at the time. So it reflects, it shows her fighting spirit. And her story also proves that she had a lot of courage and she had a lot of ambition. And if you have courage and ambition...Hey, you can achieve lots of things, even if you were an oppressed woman at the time. I'm sure at the time, they didn't really encourage women to be successful or to work. They had to stay home and be housewives and stuff like that. So it was probably restricted, socially at that time. And today, her legacy continues to thrive through the wax museum empire she founded.So, of course, she's got this legacy, how well she's known, her fame, you could say, because she did something great. Her memory continues to thrive. And, of course, we've got waxy museums all over the world. But I believe if you want to go to one, you've got to head over to Hong Kong. That's the closest one. Mm-hmm. Okay, that brings us to the end of our explanation for today. Here comes our Chinese teacher.
再来请同学看到第三段第一个句子。Her royal connections put her in danger.所以我们知道说杜莎夫人其实跟皇室是有一些人际关系一些人脉的那但是呢就因为她认识了这些皇室的关系所以有生命的危险 It put her royal connections 这边用的是复数 put her in danger 让她有生命危险那再来呢请看到第二个句子请同学特别注意的是主要子句的部分后来杜莎夫人是获得了释放但是是有条件的 She was released under harsh conditions 而且呢这些条件非常的苛刻再来我们请同学看到第四个句子第四个句子要特别注意的是逗点之后的关系子句请同学把 many of whom 这个 whom 画起来这里是关系词那因为在 of 后面所以呢我们必须要用受格这里的 whom 代替的就是前面的这些受害者再来请同学看到第四段的第四个句子那我们知道说杜莎夫人其实在法国大革命期间哦因为和皇室的关系所以其实有生命的危险那后来也受到监禁虽然受到了释放可是想当然尔在法国继续发展的话会相当困难后来呢他就到了英国重新开启他的人生但终其一生其实都相当投入蜡像制作这项技术所以我们用 She remained dedicated to her craft投入什么 ？Dedicated to her craft。再来，请同学看到第五段第一个句子。好，就是我们知道杜莎夫人，她过去经历了许多艰辛的这些生命历程，但是同样的，她的故事也带给我们相当多的启发。在那个时候呢，很多妇女的发展是受到限制的，但她勇于突破。Despite the restricted social roles, 所以呢，妇女是受到限制的，但她勇于突破，以至于，请看第二个句子，她所带给后世的影响，到现在依然呢，我们可以看到蜡像博物馆当中，看到这些艺术品栩栩如生， 那就看到如同它带来的影响到现在还是非常的深刻。Her legacy continues to thrive. Thrive 可以用来描述生命，不论是动物或者植物，蓬勃发展的状态。好，以上就是我们对第一天课程所做的中文讲解，谢谢大家。
That's it for today's lesson. Please join us again next time, and we'll continue talking about Madame Tussauds. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.